This podcast episode is powered by AfriPods, the world's number one podcasting platform for African stories.
Welcome, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Just worship Him who deserves to be worshipped, to be exalted, because it's the reason why we are, why we have. And He's the hope that we have, even as we continue to live, looking forward to a better life. Thank you for coming. Thank you, praise team, for the good singing. We're in the book of Ruth, and today we'll talk about true devotion or true love. Before we get there, there's a little recap to remind ourselves that the book of Ruth was written at the time of the judges. And that time was the darkest among the dark parts in the life of God's people. But God was doing something marvelous, something bright, even in the time when things were not going very well. God was using an ordinary family and taking their natural events in life and weaving them together into His big plan of blessing the world. We saw that a family led by Elimelech, whose wife was Naomi, decided to go to a land of Moab because there was famine in Judah. When they were there, Elimelech died. When he died, they mourned. And then the two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, married Moabite women. It didn't take very long. They too died. The two sons to the family died, leaving Naomi a widow, having lost a husband and her two sons. But also the two Moabite women, Orpah and Ruth, became widows because their husbands died. So Naomi had a triple loss, three funerals in 10 years, not a joke, maybe less than 10 years, of her husband and her two sons. She continued to live in Moab, but at some point in her life, she was in the fields of Moab and she heard some news that God had visited His people and now there was plenty of food in Judah, particularly in Bethlehem where they came from. That news, that message of the Lord prompted Naomi to desire to return to her homeland of Judah. She shared her decision with her daughters-in-law, and they strongly embraced that decision. Both daughters-in-law decided to accompany Naomi on her return to Judah. And that shows us the impact of our decisions that we make on the people that love us, that they will follow our decisions. If they are good decisions, well and good. But if they are bad, they might as well follow those bad decisions. And so Naomi decided to go back, and her daughters-in-law decided to accompany her back to the land of Judah. When they had traveled some distance, that's where we were last week, when they had traveled some distance, Naomi sensing that they should not go too far away, otherwise returning may be tiring for them. Out of love for her two daughters-in-law, three times we saw last week, she argued with them to go back because life in Judah was going to be a big challenge for them. This was because being a widow is tough in any generation. But being a widow in ancient times was hard. And being a widow in ancient Israel at that time was especially very, very hard if you're not a Jewish person. Why? Because living among the Jews as a widow coming from outside and west coming from Moab, then the Jews may not treat you kindly. They were very prejudiced. They judged people according to their color, according to their background. According to the Jews, the Moabites were a cursed race. And so to go and live among them as a widow who married one of their people, which to them was a disobedience of their person to marry outside the Jewish community, then most likely you are not going to be treated nicely. And out of love, which we looked at last week, what love looks like from Naomi, she said, please don't come with me. Pleaded with them not to accompany her back to Judah. I also want to say that Naomi wanted them to see and count the cost of following her to Judah. So in one sense, she had genuine love for them. But on the other side, this was a test to them to see how far they can go in what they had embraced. Now, I also want to say to you and I that Moab is not just a location. In the Bible, we have names of places, but these names of places can have spiritual symbolisms. And so Moab represents a force that opposes God's people. Moab represents a force that is going to oppose you and me on continuing on our spiritual journey. It can symbolize the physical world that we live in and all its systems that are opposed to God's will. It cannot symbolize our flesh, which is in resistance to God's will. It can also represent anything that is not good for you and I who are God's children. And God is saying to us, like we saw last week, you need to move out of Moab. You can't stay in Moab. It represents the world and the flesh, something not good in the eyes of God. And you need to move away from there. So anything that is not good needs to be left behind, because that is a symbol of Moab. Sometimes Moab can be bad temper. Moab can be a bad attitude, a bad personality, pride, or some sinful thing that maybe you are living in. And you need to leave that. And that's what we're learning. Like last week, repentance is turning away and facing God 180 degrees. In the road that you came, you go to the road of the turning point and you put your back on Moab and put your face towards the land of God, which is Judah. Now, I also want us to see that when we introduce the book of Ruth, we saw fast forward that Ruth will eventually marry Boaz. Boaz was the descendant of Rahab, child to Rahab, in Jericho. Now they're in Judah, in Bethlehem. And this Ruth will marry Boaz. And from Boaz, we have eventually our Lord Jesus Christ coming in this line. And like I said last week, this is the only name of a book of a descendant of Jesus. An ancestor of Jesus, Ruth, that book named after her. Now, God had a plan for Ruth, that she will become some kind of grandparent to our Lord Jesus Christ. But she cannot be there in Moab. She needs to leave Moab because her destiny is in Judah. And so she has to leave Moab because God has a plan for her and a destiny for her. But this cannot take place when she's still in Moab, just to go to where God wants her to be. By extension, I want to say this to you and I, brothers and sisters, God has a plan for each one of us. And his plan is good. Like Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11 says, to prosper you. He has a plan. But you cannot get God's blessings while still in Moab, while still living a sinful life, while still holding on to things that oppose the will of God. You need to leave so that God can fulfill that plan in your life. And so Ruth is going to move out, as we shall see. Now, where we ended last week, I don't know where they were, maybe at the border between going out of Moab and getting into the new land. And now Naomi was arguing with them, persuading them to go back, discouraging them from going with her. That's where we ended last week. And now we come to today's reading. We are reading from Ruth 14:22. I'll follow the reading on the screen there. Then they lifted their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, see, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I'll go, and where you lodge, I'll lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I'll die, and there I'll be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more so if anything but death parts me from you. And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stared because of them. And the women said, is this Naomi? She said to them, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi, when the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me? And so Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. Our Father, we thank you, we praise you, we honor you for giving us the scriptures, because they're a lamp to our feet, and through them, Lord, we discover your will, and through them, we see how we have to live on this side of life. The same words bring faith. The same words help us to live a life worthy of our calling before you. Here we have read the scriptures for today. We wait upon you, Lord, by the power of your Spirit, to lead us and to guide us into the truths that you have for us today. Speak, Lord, and grant us understanding to your glory. In Jesus, amen. And so, that is where we are today. And we go to the first point. Today, we have an example of temporary faith. An example of temporary faith. And the words are coming from verse 14b to 15, which we read. After Naomi had reasoned with her daughters-in-law that they should go back because life is going to be hard. And this is what we read. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, that is Naomi, see, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. And so there we are. Orpah is an example to us of temporary faith. Ruth and Orpah had come under the influence of Naomi. And there's a very good reason to believe that they both had some kind of profession of faith. They were introduced to the faith of the Jews, the faith of Naomi. Now, as we saw last time, the two are determined to go with their mother-in-law. But the difference now, as we shall see, even from these verses, is simply that Ruth has a faith that perseveres, a faith that continues, a faith that goes on and on. Well, we read from here, Orpah turned her back, and that is temporary faith. Notice what Naomi says there. She says, see, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. That's Naomi. Talking to Ruth, who has remained. Orpah has turned and gone. And as Naomi turns to Ruth, she says those words, see, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister. What you see there is Naomi perceives in the spirit that Orpah has some defect in her faith. She has come to a point now where she has to choose, and she has chosen to go back to her people and to her gods. That is the discernment that Naomi has. She discerns, she perceives, as she sees Orpah going back to her people. Naomi looks at her, and she sees in the spirit that she has chosen to go back to her people and to her gods. All along from last week, we saw that Naomi never ever told them to go back to their gods. She was telling them and praying for them that may God find you good husbands. May God deal with you kindly, which we saw last week. She really was concerned about their well-being. But now time had come when they had to make a choice, because love never forces itself on people. Love allows people to make a choice of their own. And she wanted them to make that choice, and Orpah made that choice. And so she kissed Naomi goodbye and walked and went away. And Naomi recognized what was happening, and she realized she was gone. Did Orpah love Naomi? She did. She liked Naomi. She loved Naomi, her mother-in-law. These three were in love. The mother-in-law and their daughters-in-law were greatly in love for each other. And so when Orpah was thinking of joining, she really probably meant to go. But at some point, she had to make a choice. And that choice was now that, with what I've heard, she processed what she heard, that life is going to be difficult for you in Judah. Maybe I should not go. She made a choice, because love makes a choice. And she turned and she went to her people and to her gods. I want to remind you, brothers and sisters, that Jesus spoke about this, describing temporary faith. Jesus talked about the parable of the sower. And you know, in the parable of the sower, Jesus said some seed fell on shallow soil, and it grew up, and it seemed to be doing very well for a while. But it didn't have the depth, it didn't have the roots to go down. And in the end, it withered. Again, Jesus talked about another seed that fell on some ground. It sprang up, and it too seemed to be doing very well, but it was choked by things of this world, and it didn't continue to grow. And there are many examples in the Bible of people that look like they have it, and yet they don't have it. They have temporary faith in the Bible. Another example we see is from the book of John. You know, the book of John, Jesus fed thousands of people with two loaves of bread and fish. And when they saw that he is a person who can feed you probably for the rest of your life, so no budget anymore. You don't need money. Just follow him and he'll be feeding you. Started to follow. They realized, oh, he looks like Moses was feeding people with manna in the desert. Maybe this is the one we've been waiting for. Let's go to him. And they started to make him king. And when you read further, Jesus turned and looked at them and said, I know why you're following me. It's because you ate. If you're following me because you want to get something from me for your own good, it's not good enough. You need to build this relationship with me. You need to have intimate relationship with me. So you need to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And when they heard that, the Bible tells us a lot of them turned away. Turned away from Jesus. They looked like they had it. They looked like they had faith. But their faith was temporary. They turned away. And Jesus looked at the disciples and said to them, look, they have gone. If you want, you also go. Why are you still standing here? And Peter said, where can we go? You have the words of life. We have tasted, we have heard. We can't leave you. That's Naomi. Rather, that's Ruth. You have the words of life. I can't leave you. She clung to Naomi. And the disciples said, no, we can't live like others. We will follow you. Brothers and sisters, temporary faith sometimes looks like the real thing. The difference is that it doesn't last. Orpah had a genuine love for Naomi, no doubt. She had set out on a journey at one point, but then evidently, she was not ready to sacrifice. And so, she stopped following. Because something was missing in her. And when she looked at the options, living in my own country with my mother and my relatives, and going to a place where I'll be mistreated, I think with my mother and my people is better. She turned and went back. She had another option and she chose to go to her own people. Part of her wanted to believe and follow Naomi, but another part of her was saying, no, go to your people, go to your people. And so she kissed Naomi and she went back to her people. The same battle you and I will face in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you love the world more than Jesus Christ, you will struggle to follow Jesus. I said to you and I, love chooses. And we all choose what we love the most. Isn't that true? We all choose what we love the most. What do you choose reveals what you love. And so now, rather, Orpah has chosen what she loves. Now, the problem, of course, brothers and sisters, is that by nature, we love wrong things. That's our humanity. Born from Adam, we love to make wrong choices. That's why we make mistakes and ruin our lives. Because that's how we are born. We like wrong things. And scripture tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4 to 5. In the last days, this is what we will see. Treacherous, reckless, sullen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having an appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such a people. Listen to the words, having an appearance of godliness. We look at them, the way they speak, hallelujah, amen. They look like they are God's people. These catch words from the Bible. And they speak nicely. They have an appearance like that. But they deny the power. They've not really given their lives to Jesus. They've never reached a point where they say, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. They just move into religion. But they've never considered the cross and what God offered on the cross through his son Jesus. But inwardly, they are like that. They are lovers of pleasure, lovers of money, lovers of all these things of the world. And God knows our hearts. So while we talk about loving God, what we really love may be something else, pleasure, money, and ourselves. That is why we will not continue on our Christian journey. And that's what is happening to Oprah as an example. She could not continue because she loved something more than she loved what was being offered through Naomi. Somewhere along the way, she turned away. And that is the principle we see here. Love chooses, and we all choose what we love the most. What we choose reveals what we love. But again, the problem is that left on our own, left on your own, left on my own, we'll always choose the wrong things. That's why God, to be thanked, says, I'll give you a new heart. I'll put a new spirit in you. And so there's God as a solution to our problem of choosing wrong things. And he says, I'll give you a new heart. He's ready to give you a new heart. Give me a new heart, which is flexible to obey God's commands. Because our natural being is always bent on wrong things. We need our hearts to be changed, to be circumcised, to be renewed, to be regenerated. And this can only happen if you come to Jesus accepting that you need help and asking God to change your heart. Otherwise, you will always go for wrong things. But there is a solution, and the solution is in Jesus. Following him, first of all, coming to him in repentance and faith and receiving him as your savior, and then following him to help you make the right decisions. And that is Oprah, an example of temporary faith. We move to the second point, an example of true devotion or true love. And there we have those words from Ruth. But Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I'll go, and where you lodge, I'll lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more so if anything but death parts me from you. Wonderful words. Some of you could have spoken these words at your wedding. This is not a wedding. But I've heard people on weddings putting these words in their mouths as they make vows to their spouses. Beautiful words. Excellent words. And I hope we can mean them even during the wedding, though we change our minds because we are bent. But let's look at what is being said here. These words describe some of the most beautiful confessions of love that come from God's people. Ruth makes this marvelous commitment to Naomi. And I want to look at them. Three things that she brings out. We start with, not where it starts, but love commits to God. Love commits to God. That's the thing. Love commits to God. And she says, your God will be my God. That's what she says. Your God will be my God. That is verse 16d, at the end of verse 16. Now, something is happening. Think about Ruth and what has been happening. This is a Moabite woman married to a Jewish man who has died. Now she's been living with her mother-in-law. These are very rare things where mothers-in-law and daughters-in-law get on very well. Most of us in our culture, it's always quarreling between mothers-in-law and daughters-in-law. I don't know where this thing came from, but here is a picture of great things that can happen when mothers-in-law and daughters-in-law are in love for each other. So much can be achieved. But I want you to see that Naomi had so much influence on her daughters-in-law, and particularly on Ruth, where she responds quite well. And what we see is like Ruth is saying to us, my mother-in-law, the Lord has been your God. I've seen it in you. I've seen the way you live. I've watched you. And I've seen that you love your God. And even when you have lost these dear ones, three members of your family, you've continued to love this God. And when we lost our husbands, your love was extended to us. And we've seen this love in you of how you love God and how you've loved us. And that has spoken to me a lot. I've seen that your God probably is a very good God. And I want to test him myself. And so I want to follow you because I want to experience this love that you have, this God. What makes you love God like this? And what makes you love us, your daughters-in-law, like this? There must be something about your God. And I want to experience that something of your God. And so your God will be my God. I want to love that God as well. And I want to obey him. Because of that, she was willing to disassociate herself with her family. Remember, Jesus said, if you want to follow me, be ready to deny your father and mother, your brothers and sisters, even your own life. If you can't deny such a people and you can't deny yourself, you're not worthy to be my disciple. And this is an example we are seeing of a person who is serious about following God. She says, your God will be my God. I've tested a little bit of this. I want to test it much more because I've seen it in your life. I want to propose to you and I, brothers and sisters, you know what? Our faith and the way we live, sometimes we may not realize how much it can touch the people around us. Just the way you live for God, and especially in very difficult times. And I think Naomi spoke much more when she lost her husband and when she lost her two sons. That testimony touched Ruth so much that she made a decision to go and follow this God of Naomi. What a testimony. And so the faith of Naomi was seen because it was displayed, it was exemplified, and now Ruth got it. So she says, your God will be my God. The next thing we see is love commits to God's people. She said, your people will be my people. The last shall be my people. Your people shall be my people. That's what she said. Strange. She knew, I've been told, when I go there, I'll be mistreated by her people. Naomi's people will mistreat me when I go there. But for me, I will not mistreat them. I'll be good to them. Because they belong to Naomi. They are God's people. And if they are God's people, I don't want to be opposed to these people. I really want to be, you know, with these people and live with these people. It's not going to be easy for Ruth, but she's determined. She has decided that she will do anything and everything in her power to love and embrace God's people that she will find in Judah. Let's look at the words that are in the scriptures, which we are told in the New Testament in 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. If you're a Christian, you've passed from death to life. You're born again. One evidence in 1 John chapter 3 is you love God's people. You love God's people. That's evidence of a truly born again Christian, because God's love is put into their hearts and they learn to love God's people. It's a pity that sometimes as Christians we forget some of these truths. You see, for me now, first and foremost, I'm a Christian. Whether Mbemba, Lala, Ngoni, Lozi, Uchona, Ndebele, whatever you are, that is secondary. Your new identity is that you're a Christian. And fellow Christians are your brothers and sisters. Not what we had in Rwanda, where Tutsis and Hutus, Christians killing each other. In South Africa, because of appetite, Christians rising against fellow Christians, fighting each other. And sometimes we fight each other for our brothers in the blood. That should not be allowed. If you're a true born-again Christian, you love your brothers, you love your sisters in the Lord. And you wish them well, and you want to live in harmony and in love with all that are born again, because they are your true brothers and sisters. And we need to cultivate this. For this is how we know that someone is born again. They love the church. For the church is made up of God's children. And they love God's children. And so she said, your people will be my people. Whether they will hate me, I will love them. How wonderful it would be. It would be if we loved each other so much that we do everything possible to keep this relationship. And then finally, she says, love commits forever. Where you die, I'll die, and there I'll be buried. May the Lord do so to me more and more. Also, if anything but death, but meaning, she's saying, well, my commitment, my love for you, Naomi, and for your God, and for your people, is forever. This is not something to do with you alone. Naturally, she knew Naomi was old. She might die before I die. But even if she dies, I will not go back to my people. I will die in Judah. And there I will be buried. I'm not changing my mind. My faith is not based on Naomi. My faith is based on God and his people. I love this. Whether Naomi dies or not, I remain alone. I will still be there until I die and be buried there. I will not never change my mind. Commits forever. I don't know what it is for you to be devoted to the Lord, to be committed to the Lord. I don't know what it is. But true love, true devotion commits to God forever. Commits to God's people forever and is willing to die for what they believe in, which is their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. As I finish, I want to make a few observations to help us think about what we have heard today. I'm sure between the two people that we've talked about, Oprah and Ruth, most of you, if I said, which one do you want? I know your hand will go for Ruth, isn't it? For sure you go for Ruth. But isn't it true, brothers, that sometimes there's the Oprah in you and the Oprah in me? Sometimes when we are brought where we have to choose between comfort and following the Lord, don't we sometimes go for comfort and avoid suffering for the Lord? We do make choices like Oprah. Sometimes we're not willing to sacrifice for the Lord. And so there's an Oprah in you, there's an Oprah in me. As much as we admire Ruth and want to be like Ruth, we're always living like Oprah. God forbid that we can live that way. And the only way out, brothers and sisters, is to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. See what he has done for you on the cross of Calvary. He suffered for you. Why not follow him? He is the life. He is the truth. He is the resurrection. He is the bread of life. Like we said last week, there is no life outside Jesus. It's meaningless. It's chasing after the wind. You're wearing yourself for nothing. Choose this life by following on Jesus Christ. And so this is the picture of Oprah, which is in us, that sometimes we would rather spend on pleasure to please ourselves and not spend on Jesus. Time, resources, our life, our service. We are saving more something else of this world and less of saving the Lord himself. That is Oprah. You go this side. And that's how we are living. Most of the times we are living like Oprah. There will be times, brothers and sisters, where suffering will be guaranteed, where God's love is the only thing you can hold on to. And that's Ruth. She's going to suffer there, but she's holding on to love of God. Now, brothers, as the Israelites were reading the book of Ruth later, these Jews reading the book of Ruth later, they were probably amazed at the faith of Ruth, who is a foreigner, a Moabite, a Gentile. And they were saying, this Gentile believer has surpassed us in her love for the Lord. We are Jews. We are Christians in the church. We've been in the church for a long time, and yet our love is so small. And one day, Caponia will come and show great love to the Lord that you and me who've been testing the goodness of the Lord. That would be shameful. Because this is shameful for the Jews that a foreigner, a Moabite, has more love for the Lord than them. And that's the intention of this book, to show us, as God's people, where is our love? And yet some people will come who don't know the Lord now and will come and surpass us in their love for the Lord. That will be shame to you and I. But finally, again, where is this love going to come from? As I was thinking about this, I was thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who was in heaven on the right side of the Father. And God told him, I love the people that I created. And Jesus said, I'll follow, I'll go to them. Where they lodge, I'll lodge. This is Almighty God, the Son of God, living in the glories of heaven, coming down to this world was a degradation on the part of the Son of God, who is Jesus. But he chose, I'll lodge where they lodge. And so he came in the flesh and lived among us. And he said, where they are buried, they will be buried. He died and was buried. Where you and I should have been buried, he took your place. He died for your sins because he loved you. And then he says, to do even much better, I'll prepare a place for them. And I'll come back and take them and stay with them forever. That's how much he loves you. He came down. He died for you. He has gone back because he wants to live with you. He wants to lodge with you. He wants to dwell with you permanently. And this love can be put in your heart so that you and I can learn to love other people and learn to love our God. Because he first loved us and has poured that love in your heart. Only by following him can you have this love. If you're following the world and other things of the flesh, you will never experience this love. Neither are you going to give it out to other people because you don't have it. This love can only be received from him who has loved us and given his son. May God help us. Amen.
Inaendeshwa na AfriPods.